Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. I probably seen Josh like early on in our career, like going to certain events like Super Bowl, around Super Bowl time and stuff like that. But off season, I don't really chill with people off season, like especially not other quarterbacks. Like nothing like don't get me wrong, it's no problem, nothing like that. But it's like we compete against each other. Like I'm trying to beat you. Like I'm not trying to be your friend.
Oh, man, Lamar Jackson talking about whether or not he hangs with quarterbacks in the offseason, and he says, I'm trying to beat you. Before we get to thoughts on that, a couple of things. Injury report is out. Two guys on the injury report. Zay Flowers did not practice, and Deonte Hardy practiced in full, but he's on the report because he's still in the 21-day window to return from IR, so we'll find out whether they activate him this week.
Activate him because you need somebody to catch the football and help you return it.
You would expect, after what happened against Pittsburgh, that Hardy will be returning punts. And one other note, and this has got Baltimore all riled up. The Ravens claim Deontay Johnson off waivers. He doesn't officially become a Raven until after the Super Bowl. He's never going to play for the Ravens again. I thought Field Yates explained it perfectly. Said Johnson largely torpedoed his market over the last 10 months, but whatever deal he signs in the offseason will count towards the compensatory formula if done soon enough. So no team loves the compensatory picks more than the Ravens, so if they can salvage a seventh out of this, that's why they did it. He'll never play here again.
No. I'm over him.
Yeah, me too. But like, people are freaking out. He's not going to be on the team the rest of this year. He's not officially awarded the team until after the Super Bowl. And it's try to get a seventh round pick out of the whole thing.
I just don't see how this guy signs for more than the minimum to even qualify.
But it doesn't cost him anything to claim.
No, I mean, look, it's
a no-risk move.
Yeah.
They can't quit him.
No, they can't.
They can't.
No, no. Team guy.
He abstained from them, and they just keep...
They can't
extend that olive branch.
By the way, they found out he's a team guy when he got to Houston. Remember, big team guy.
Yeah. If they win a Super Bowl, does he get a cut? Does he get a cut of the?
No
way. Does he get any playoff?
No.
Does he get?
You think
now that he's
ring?
Back on? Is he on the rise? Is he technically on the roster?
He's not awarded till after.
So he doesn't have to worry about cutting up any playoff shares for him.
No.
Do you think he got a share or get a share from their win over the Texans? Win over the Chargers? I guess
I guess he has to, doesn't he? He
I
was part of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, allegedly he was not happy after the game, which that's on brand. I've seen that firsthand. Even though they won, he's not happy. You want to hear from John Harbaugh?
Yeah, well, do I have a choice?
Well, we could continue to talk about Lamar Jackson, but would you like to hear from Harbs?
Well, I love Lamar.
Yeah, I do too. We're very pro Lamar in this room.
I love that answer.
I don't
answer.
Know about Bone.
I love that answer. And like we talked about, Lamar, man, tight circle.
Well, it's funny because he's been asked that question a lot. I think even going back to the week 1 game against Mahomes, like, oh, are you tight with Mahomes? And he always like, oh, man.
I think the only time he ever sees them is at a Pro Bowl or at NFL Honors. I think that's literally it.
Yeah. Like you said, tight circle.
Or when they obviously on the field before a game.
Yeah.
Or are signing a jersey after the game. But that's it. He's not a big fraternizer or hobnobber.
No, he does not hobnob.
Not
that's
a
good
hobnobber.
Yeah. He does not hobnob. John
it
Harbaugh.
It takes one to know one. GG, world-class hobnobber.
I do gallivant and hobnob. And I've never seen Lamar Jackson out.
No, he's not on not out in Timonium.
He's not hanging out with
on a Tuesday night.
I don't think Timonium would be.
He's not a big. I don't really go out on Tuesday
nights in Timonium. Oh, you used to.
Yeah, I used to. I'm more weekend guy, and I never see Lamar.
Okay.
Yeah. John Harbaugh spoke today. Talks about his preparation for the cold.
Well, there's a big difference as far as the temperature because I'm out there and I can vouch for that. But as far as the game itself, no, you know, and you know it's, we got it as cold as we can in here right now, and it'll be colder in here tomorrow when I get all the water shut off in here so the pipes don't freeze. So we'll even be colder. So we'll have it cold. Love to be outside, but we just can't. The fields are too hard and they're too frozen. But we'll get the work in. We've had a lot of work in the cold. We've got a lot of work in the wind. And the elements are part of it, you know. And the other thing is going to be the footing on their field. We're thinking about that, too. We want to make sure we've got good footing on that field. It's a turf field, and it'll be hard and kind of frozen. So we're trying to think about all that. But really what we're thinking about is just executing our plays at the highest level we possibly can.
According to the media there today, even though they practice indoors, all the doors were open to keep it as cold as possible, but the fields outside were frozen.
It will be a concrete surface. It'll feel like a concrete surface, you know, by the second quarter of that football game. This team, I think, is built for these elements. This team, in a lot of different ways, is built for these elements. So I don't think that the cold or frozen field or the wind is going to bother them a whole lot. And also the other thing they have going for them is nobody in Buffalo hates a Ravens player as much as they hate Jerry Coleman.
Yes, that's
so
true.
They don't have to. Yes. Aloysius, not that he'll be a part of the traveling party or anything, but there'll be more scorn directed at Jerry Aloysius Coleman than I think all the Ravens players combined.
Only Jerry could get an entire city and fan base to hate.
You know what I'm hoping for most in this game is that at some point there's just a random shot of the stands as they go to commercial and somebody's holding up a sign saying something about Jerry Coleman. Like, I just want them to pick up a random sign. Like, I hate Jerry Coleman more than I hate the Ravens.
I'm going a step further. I want the Jumbotron to have Jerry's video where he calls him a city of losers. And John Harbaugh's laughing. Rile him up, you know?
Before the Bills run on the field.
Yeah. Hey, Buffalo. Here's what a Baltimore sportscaster.
Eric Wood wants a piece of him.
Eric, well, yeah. You think Jerry knew who Eric Wood was?
No. I don't think he still knows.
0.0 chance. 0.0. He thinks it's some guy
he'll find out when Eric Wood brings him on the podcast.
If one of those radio stations in Buffalo said, hey, we're going to fly you up here. We'll put you up in a 5-star hotel. We will pay for your plane ticket.
Well, you can
have all the rum and coke you want. Yes. You have to sit in the stands for the game. He wouldn't do it.
Well, for free stuff, I think
I don't think he would.
He wouldn't send the elements.
Time out. There's nothing Jerry likes more than free.
He'd have to then show up for three and a half hours, sit out there in the cold knowing they all hate him. I don't think he'd do it.
He's not sitting out in single digits. I'm with you on all the free stuff. Free. If they put him in a box, he'd do it in a heartbeat.
Let's hear more from one John Harbaugh and talks about playing in a tough environment.
Well, just kind of what we're talking about in terms of operating and executing is the main thing. I mean, you've got to operate under duress. You know, it's the duress of the opponent. It's also the duress of the environment, and it's really the noise as much as anything, especially for the offense. But that's a two-way street. I mean, you know, we have it at our stadium. Our defense has to operate that way too, and you know, both groups have to deal with communication with noise. You know, so being on the same page, but also being on the same page with the snap count, things like that, trying not to put ourselves in first and 15, those kind of things is very important.
It's going to be a tough environment, so tough that Jerry Coleman won't want to sit in it.
I just keep thinking to Friday when we have friend of Coleman, Ryan O'Halloran, on the show.
Aloysius.
And I just think that the whole thing's going to be like,
Aloysius.
Yeah, that's really what I want to know is how much are people talking on the street? Like when you're at the paper and you're at the water cooler, are you overhearing a conversation about that Coleman guy?
I'll say real quick, this happened. I was doing post game with Jeremy, and it was after that Bills playoff game. we could not take calls. I'm not kidding. Where I went to the phones like once or twice, but it was all Buffalo area calls, codes, just crapping all over Jerry.
Aloysius.
We did not take calls because everyone loved it.
What a guy. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk to a man who was on the call for Westwood One for Ravens Steelers. He'll review that and preview Ravens Bills. It's our buddy Ross Tucker who joins us next here on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
Ravens and the who are they playing? The Bills this Sunday at 6:30.
Traveling to the city of losers.
Yeah, allegedly. Anyway, let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Joining us now is the host of Ross Tucker podcast. Give him a follow on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. He was on the call on Westwood One for Ravens and Steelers. It's Ross Tucker, and Ross, thanks as always for joining us. Great talking to you in the press box pregame Saturday night. Let's start with that game, and obviously the Ravens were heavy favorites, but were you at all surprised at the way they basically dominated that football game?
Well, first of all, Ken, great to meet you in person. It's always good to actually be able to put a face with a voice, so that was awesome. Thank you for saying hello.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, I mean, I would say, especially watching it from the sideline perspective, I was like borderline embarrassed for the Steelers. Yeah. I mean, I really was. So you know, I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, an hour west of Philly, not that far from Baltimore. Now I live more in central PA in like Harrisburg, and there's a lot of Steelers fans around here. Like, they take so much pride in their toughness and their physicality. And when I played against them, and they always are like that. They've always been like that. I think I said on the air, I don't remember the exact number, but I believe they had the Ravens had over 250 yards rushing with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. I mean, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. 250 yards rushing with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. That number could have really actually gotten really big. I just thought it was, especially with no Zay Flowers for the Ravens, I'm like totally perplexed at how the Steelers could not have done a better job against the run. And I thought, like I said, I really thought it was, I mean, super impressive from the Ravens, not taking anything away from them, but borderline embarrassing for the Steelers.
That ballpark in Reading is awesome. We go to one, at least one Reading Fight and Phil's game every year. We love it there. People should check it out. Reading's,
you know,
cool. Reading's a cool spot.
Jay, you know what's funny? Two quick things. I got to say, I got to jump in. Yes, it is awesome. And so growing up, the Phillies played at the Vet. I am not kidding. Where I'm from, okay, people would rather go to Reading Phillies games than go to the Vet for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Right.
Or we would drive down to Camden Yards, because I don't know when Camden Yards opened, but it was like Camden Yards was the first like cool, new,
yeah,
old school style. We would drive down to Camden Yards, even though almost everybody where we're from is Phillies fans. We would drive down to Camden Yards just because the stadium was so much better than the Vet.
Yes, and Baltimore is not a city of losers, no, so we had that going for us as well. So you just documented in very eloquent fashion the men versus the boys element that was at play. When the Ravens played the Buffalo Bills in September, it played out very much kind of like that playoff game against the Steelers last week. And Buffalo is not a brawny defensive front. They don't have a whole bunch of two gap. I don't think they have any two gappers. They don't have 350-pound D tackles. They live in nickel and dime. And now the Ravens, as I'm sure you noted in that game, and I'm sure it warmed your heart, 15 times they brought in a third tackle and ran the ball, often with a 300-pound fullback and a 265-pound blocking tight end on the field as well. How did the Bills stop that, Rooster?
Yeah, well, that's the question, right? And the big thing is, and I know you guys know this and talk about it, and by the way, for people that don't know, my grandfather called me Rooster growing up. And I don't know, Jason, when he was covering
the I wrote Redskins about you at the Washington then, Post, and somehow that was a part of the story.
You wrote about me, the Redskins signing me, and somebody pointed out that when I had been at training camp at Dickinson College in 01 and 02, my grandpa came a few times and called me Rooster, and some Redskins fan at Dickinson College saw that and gave you the tip or the,
yeah,
heads up. Literally, Ken, the Redskins signed me for my second stint. So I was there 01, 02. They signed me back in 07, and the title of Jason's blog post was "Here Comes the Rooster."
Yeah, like the Alice in Chains song that we played you in on. Yes,
that's awesome.
It was so awesome. You know, the funny thing about the Bills is they live in nickel.
Yeah.
They want to be in nickel. Now, I'm not calling that game. I'm on Texans Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been paying as much attention to the injury report and where Taron Johnson's at. But I did a Bills game. I did a couple on radio, but I also did Bills on TV. Like, they think Taron Johnson's the best nickel in the league. Mm-hmm. They want to be in nickel. But I just don't know how they're going to be able to do that. First of all, I still kind of tend to doubt Zay Flowers' play.
Right. No, it doesn't look like it.
You guys know more than
I
do.
No, he's not playing.
And then also, you know, the Ravens, they're going to have at least two, sometimes three big people out there, like you just referenced. I don't think you want to be a nickel. Mm-hmm. I think you'll get run over. The only value that the Bills have is because Milano and Terrell Bernard were both hurt this year. Milano most of the year and Bernard for a stretch. They did play these other linebackers. They did play Dorian Williams. They did play Spector. So I know what I would do if I would play the Ravens, right? Like, I would go big, and I would sell out to stop the run. If it's not a run, just keep going after Lamar. I'd put my corners in man-to-man on Bateman Anthony Miller, whoever else they're going to put out there, put them man-to-man, and I would take a chance of Lamar beating me deep with – listen, the Ravens' offense is unbelievable, okay? I don't know if I told you guys this before, but I do a betting show on Tuesdays. It's called the Even Money Podcast, and my co-host is a big numbers guy. He said the Ravens are by far the best team in the NFL because so many people go with, like, the Chiefs because they win all these one-score games or the Bills because of all the turnover margin. There's a lot of variance in those two things. The Ravens average more than half a yard more per play than any other team in the NFL. That is unheard of. The Ravens are historically good. So the way I look at it, it's like, okay, they're historically good. It's almost like you're playing against a basketball team that's just way better than you. At some point, okay, you got to hope they have a bad shooting night from three, right? You can't let them be dunking on you. You can't give them layups. If I'm the Bills, I'm taking away the dunks. I'm taking away the layups. I'm hoping that Lamar can't hit the 25-foot three-pointers, the deep shots, to Bateman and the receivers. I'm taking my chance with a single high safety in the middle of the field, even if that. Maybe sometimes I'm just doing cover zero, and I'd rather go down like that in a blaze of glory than watch Derrick Henry run over my face.
I hear you, brother. I'm with you.
Ross, before we let you go, let the people know about futurefans.com.
Oh, my gosh. I just found out about this, and it is perfect for Ravens fans right now. These guys are actually Bengals fans. They probably don't want me to tell you that, but they came up with the best way to actually have your kids understand football and want to sit there and watch the whole game with you. You know, I mean, I know, Jay, you got kids. You know how hard it is?
Oh, they don't, dude.
Playing to like 7-6-year-olds.
Two quarters tops, yeah.
My 11 and 12-year-old, they still don't totally understand football. Now, they're a little bit better about asking questions now, but you're not going to get your kid to sit there and watch the game with you unless they really understand the downs, the yardage, the whole deal. These guys came up with a book, a storybook-led activity box, right? So you read a chapter, and then you do like a ring toss that teaches them how the four downs work. I've seen this now. I've talked to kids about it. If you can't tell, I invested in the business because I love it. Like, literally, I've talked to parents about it. I've talked to kids about it. They now love football. They now sit there and watch the whole game with their dad. It's incredible. It's called futurefans.com. So anybody listening, whether it's kids or nieces and nephews, grandkids, if they're like between 4 to 10, go to futurefans.com. I think it costs like $50. It'll be the best $50 you ever spent to be able to have your kid or grandkid sit there and watch the whole Ravens game. Hopefully the Ravens go to the Super Bowl and they'll sit there and watch every game with you. It's called futurefans.com.
Ross,
thank you, brother.
Great, man. Thank you, sir.
Go Redding.
Yeah.
They got some sick throwbacks. They're rocking some sick throwbacks this year.
Yeah, do me a favor, okay? Please don't act like it's a devastatingly bad season if the Ravens lose this game. I hate, because I go on to Buffalo every week. I hate that the loser of this game is going to feel like the season was a failure. I hate that.
I don't know. I can't promise you. We'll see what we can do. I get back to me on that one. Thanks, brother.
See you guys. Hey,
coming up next, we're going to go behind enemy lines. Sal Capaccio, WGR in Buffalo. He's sideline reporter for Bills Radio. He joins us next. Ravens and Bills Sunday at 6:30 live from Buffalo. We'll be watching the game, listening to the game, whatever. But we're going to be on Censored, the pregame show live from Bingo World at 3 o'clock. So come on out and see us. But joining us now as we go behind enemy lines, heading out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, Sal Capaccio. He's a Bills sideline reporter. Also, you can hear him on WGR Radio in Buffalo. And Sal, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. So what's the mood in Buffalo as they get ready for this matchup?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a confident football team. I think it's a fan base that knows what happened week four and understands it's a really tough matchup, no doubt about it. And, you know, considering the way the playoffs have ended over the last 4 years, there's obviously a lot of, you know, nervousness and not wanting that to happen again. I think it's a lot of healthy respect for, you know, the type of team the Ravens have, and specifically, you know, in this matchup, you know, for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, Sal, in that game in week four, the Ravens just ran over Buffalo. Now, they were without a couple of starters, Matt Milano, Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard. How much of a difference is that trio going to make on Sunday?
Oh, I think it makes a big difference. I mean, that is the entire second level of their defense, and I would argue, you know, they may be the three most important and best players on their defense. Now, Matt Milano, of course, was out because he had broken his leg the year before. He didn't come back until maybe, what, about 6-7 weeks ago, and he's really starting to play well now. We saw last week was his best game yet, and he was used a lot of times as a spy on Bo Nix, but he's a former All-Pro. Taron Johnson is arguably the best slot corner in the game. He's an All-Pro as well. And then Terrell Bernard is their middle linebacker, who's very good. But that being said, I mean, if all of them played in that game, I'm not sure how much it would have mattered then, because the Ravens were just, you know, how dominant they were. But I do think the Bills learned a lot from that game watching. But in this game specifically, I do think, you know, that it'll matter having them on the field versus last time for sure.
Well, I wonder, even with that personnel available, how much of a schematic sort of paradigm shift might be in order here, because this team not only now has Derrick Henry more well-versed running out of the pistol, which he wasn't really doing a whole lot of when you guys faced him last, but they're also now using a sixth offensive lineman, which the Bills are familiar with on offense, 13 times against the Texans, 15 times against the Steelers, plus keeping a 265-pound blocking tight end on the field, plus a 300-pound fullback. Can the Bills, even with those guys available to them, win this matchup in nickel? Or we just had Ross Tucker on. Do they sell out to stop the run, go with heavy personnel, run blitz, and say, hey, if you beat us without Derrick Henry running for 250 on us, great. But we can't let Derrick Henry run for 250 on us.
Yeah, Jason, it's a great question that we've been debating all week here. I was just at our station here at WGR 550, and we're debating the same thing, which is this. Here's the conundrum the Bills face. The Bills can go base defense, and they'd feel good doing that with 4-3, and they would keep Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano in the field. They'd bring in Dorian Williams, who actually played pretty well in that game. Mm-hmm. He was the Will linebacker at the time. He would probably play a strong side. But if you do that, you take Taron Johnson off the field, who may be the best at what he does in the game, right? And you don't want to do that. It's a tough call. Now, look, the reason why this is a tough matchup just to start for the Bills is they are structured and they're built to be able to stop teams from throwing on them. And yep, they've done a great job of that over the years, right? They kind of invite you to run. They're lighter, mm-hmm, and they're more athletic. That's how they play. They're going to have to do something to mitigate that, whether it's up front or whether it's, you know, at linebacker. It is something they're going to have to figure out. And I would say this. If the Ravens run two tight ends and bring Ricard in and all that, I would guess the Bills would counter with more of a base defense because they're going to match personnel, I think. I don't think they want to bring Taron Johnson off the field. He's an excellent run defender, although he is smaller.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be situationally dictated, to be quite honest with you. And maybe, just maybe, the availability or lack thereof of Zay Flowers could even impact that, because if he's not on the field available, maybe that dictates what they do with Taron Johnson based on how, you know, the Ravens personnel is.
We're speaking to the Sal Capaccio, sidelines for Bills Radio Network. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Sal, another player that didn't play, wasn't even on the Bills at that time in Week 4, is Amari Cooper. What type of impact has he had since acquiring him at the deadline?
You know, he's had a pretty big impact, but maybe not as much statistically, right? Because the Bills have kind of had this mantra since the season started, what they like to say, everybody eats. And it really has been true this year. You know, Josh Allen has put up great numbers, obviously, with not a true number one. There's no Stephon Diggs. There's not even a Gabe Davis, right? Number two. The Bills came into this year with a whole bunch of kind of guys that were just names and people that he could throw to. And, you know, they realized, though, and I think that Ravens game kind of showed them a little bit before the trade deadline, was teams were going to really play man-to-man and challenge these receivers to beat them. They really couldn't get a lot of separation. That's not the kind of group they are. So they went out and they traded for Amari Cooper. And what Amari Cooper's done is he's had a couple nice games, but really what he's done is he's kind of forced defenses to play them a little bit differently and open up some more space for others. What you've seen is with the addition of Amari Cooper, everything else has become a little bit more available. And that's the way the Bills wanted to play this. That's the way they wanted to, you know, play football this year. And that includes, by the way, running backs. They have a very good pass-catching running back room, as you guys know, and tight ends, and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. You look around the board, it truly is everybody eats, you know, in Buffalo. Actually, they scored, 44 against Detroit, and Amari Cooper had zero targets. That's how much everybody else contributed. But there's been other games where Amari Cooper's been the guy to step up. So it's really kind of on the defensive side for teams, how they wanted to play Amari Cooper, and then the Bills say, okay, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to counter by throwing to other people.
Well, and Sal, along those lines, as well as the Bills run the ball, I don't know that even with the sixth offensive lineman, like the Ravens are number 3 in EPA against those runs. I think they're 4th in success rate. They now have Michael Pierce available to them, who wasn't in that first game. I just wonder if, to your point, there's going to be a lot of running backs involved in the screen game. Like, James Cook hasn't been targeted in 3 weeks. I could see him getting targeted 3 times on the first drive, especially against a guy like, you know, Malik Harrison in coverage. And Roquan Smith, he's first team all pro, whatever. He got gouged in coverage all season long this year. And then Ty Johnson, the speed stuff. Do you think those guys could be focal points in the pass game?
Yeah, 100%, Jay. I mean, listen, that's kind of what the Bills have done here down the stretch a lot, especially with Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson, to me, is kind of an X factor for this offense. He's a very good third down back. He's a good pass protector, but he leaks out. You guys saw the sensational catch he made at the goal line last week against the Broncos. But, you know, you go back to that Detroit game.
Yes.
That was the game plan against Detroit. The Bills knew, and we knew coming in, that might be something the Bills would do, is target the Lions linebackers. And Ty Johnson, as a running back, had over 100 yards receiving in that game. And a lot of that was Josh Allen scrambling around. He becomes available. So, yes, I do think that's the case. They don't throw to James Cook a ton, but they do throw to him. A lot of times it's because, you know, he's not as good of a pass protector. So when he's on the field, you kind of know you're not as much in a bind, but they definitely can do it. So I definitely think that they can, and they will, look to throw to their running backs. One guy to watch here is Ray Davis. In that running back room, he is in concussion protocol for last week, but he was a limited participant today. Now, he's a guy that really helps out in that room because he also has he's really more of a powerful runner, but he can catch the ball a little bit out of the backfield as well.
Ravens and Bills, Sunday, 6:30. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines for Bills Radio. Sal, thank you.
Bundle up, brother. Bundle up. I know you know how to up there, but bundle up.
You know I know how to do that. Yes. Listen, I'll tell you guys, as of right now, we're just watching the weather here. I think we're looking at about maybe 10 to 12 degrees at kickoff, and then we're going to get into the single digits during the game.
Nice. That's Jerry Coleman weather, I think they call that.
I love it. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Sal. Hey, we'll come back at the text today, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Cordell Woodland. Shaking up. We have a lot to get to and not a lot of time to do it, as you've been texting with one Aloysius, so we'll get to some of that a little later tomorrow or Friday. But let's get right to the text.
Check, 1, 2, check. Text of the day! Text of the day! Text of the day! Text of the day!
Okay.
Text of the day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotives, driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Anthony in Baltimore, who says, regardless of who they put back there at returner, you have to be nervous. If Hardy is the guy, how much will he provide given the fact he's been out so long?
Just catch the ball.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, catch the ball.
It's a low bar. What we've seen from Wallace and Sims has been below, it's grade. Like,
just catch the ball. I mean, no disrespect to Beltway Ben when I say this, but I just received the true text of the day.
Oh, can you read it to us?
I can read this part. So I reached out because we've been having this thought exercise. I think we talked about it on air. I know we talked about it off air.
I think off air only.
We didn't talk about it on air. I'm pretty sure I said it on air. That if a station like
WGR off air. This is off air.
Oh, so I was wondering if one of those stations in Buffalo said, hey, Jerry, we're going to fly you up here first class. We're going to put you up in the nicest hotel in Buffalo for the weekend. We're going to give you a nice ticket in the lower bowl of the stadium, but you've got to stay for the whole game. Would you go? And we were debating it. I guess it was off air. And I'm like, no way would he go.
Yeah.
You thought
I don't know about
the
whole game because he didn't stay for the whole game at Ravens games. But
but wow. And in you, front of the bus, Bone, dude. You thought he would or wouldn't?
I said he would if he was
free
in a
suite. Is definitely Aloysius.
He would never be out in the elements.
Okay,
if
so
he was
this
inside.
This was what I texted him during the break. If WGR offered you a first class flight to the game, a room at a nice hotel, and a ticket to the game in the stands, would you take them up on it? Aloysius says absolutely not. I went to Ithaca. I'm just going to say he's not a big fan of upstate New York. If it were Florida, I would be there, which is exactly what I said.
Yeah,
they would send him to Miami.
Yeah,
and he would do it. Now he also. I guess there are perhaps wheels in motion to try to get him credentialed for this game.
No way.
But I don't, even if he gets a credential, I'm getting the sense that Aloysius will not be there. But it is amazing that he has become the face of this rivalry that isn't really a rivalry.
Yes.
Like the whole
Lamar
versus Josh Allen out the window. Who's the real MVP? Who cares? It's
Aloysius.
It's Aloysius versus the City of Losers.
Yes.
That's what happened here. And former Bills great Eric Wood.
And by the way.
Yes, Jerry had no idea who Eric Wood was.
I'm not saying this. He said this. Quote,
I'm just stating facts. Yeah, end
just
quote.
Stating facts.
I don't think the Bills are city losers.
No, I think Jerry does regret.
Nah, he has that, some
well,
remorse.
He's told he is expressing to some in his inner
some
circle
remorse.
That if he had to do it over again, he would he would abstain like Deontay Johnson from saying the I'm just stating the facts part.
Yes. That took it to another level. That did take it to
maybe
another
Harbs
level.
Maybe Harbs baited him. Maybe he didn't.
Harbs
did not.
Harbs was unaware.
Him at all.
Maybe
Harbs.
Jameson. Maybe my friend Jameson Hensley, maybe.
I think Jameson
but
a little.
But Harbs was completely unaware.
No. He wasn't goading.
Dude,
no,
he
just
laughed. He didn't know where he was going.
Want any part of
it. Once he said the city losers thing out loud, Harbs was like, we got to go in a different direction.
Harbs was like, I got
enough of this nonsense.
I got Aloysius nonsense. I'm just laughing here. And then Jameson said, well, there's a situation brewing. And so then that was it. So, yeah.
Somehow this game is all about it's a referendum on Jerry Coleman.
By the way, just a heads up, Ben, do not take any calls. I'm telling you, Bills Mafia from 3 years ago.
Even though he doesn't work here anymore?
I guarantee there's going to be some Buffalo people calling.
Well, when we have Jerry's buddy Ryan O'Halloran from the Buffalo News on Friday, we need to bring in that clip of Jerry and Harbaugh talking about the City of Losers.
Yeah, we'll bring him in with that. Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Melissa Kim. We got Brian Baldinger. We got Lucy Burge. And we have Chris Nocke as well.
And Dylan Weinman.
And Dylan Weinman, yes.
Biggest Lions fan in town.
Detroit, absolutely not a city of losers.
No, it is not.
I lived in the D for three years. Yeah. Loved it.
They're very good. Cordell Woodland coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.